It's your party. It's going to be soon, Bradley Trainer. Your party, your birthday party. Are you going to cry?
Well, I hope not. Why would I cry on my birthday?
Well, because it's your party and you can cry if you want to.
Oh, like the old Leslie Gore song. It's right. My party.
So I found an article that's literally, the title is this: The Psychological Reason Hot Girls Cry on Their Birthday.
Wait, what?
And I thought, you're in that category, you know.
What?
A hot person, a hot
girl. Oh, that's
girl,
cute. That's very
you
cute
know,
of you.
You
I
know.
Am anything but. But what do you mean a hot girl?
Just, well, they say that like on TikTok videos and Reddit threads, there's a subplot of like, you know, girls crying on their birthday. Like people will post things with them on their birthday crying.
Oh, that's like a thing? Did you know that,
it
Mike?
It is. It is.
I did not. I was not aware
did you,
of that.
Did
thing.
You come across this somehow?
Well, it was just an article. I'm
oh,
just
you
sifting
just read the
through
article.
Stories
got it,
and
got
I'm
it.
Like, oh, okay.
Like they were sad it didn't go the way they planned it.
Well, there's
they're
a
like,
lot.
I'm hot.
Oh, okay.
I know there's several reasons which some mental health counselor, Anna Harris, a clinical mental health counselor, says many people who cry on their birthday end up crying even more because they feel bad about feeling the way they're feeling. It's a domino effect of birthday tears.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of reasons why you can cry. This one, I'm like, okay, get over it. It is, you're disappointed the way your birthday went.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, all right.
That's, yeah. I feel like this is like a, this must be like a younger thing.
Oh, sure. Although,
I mean, once you get to a certain age, I feel like you're like, if I'm crying on my birthday, it's because I looked at the fact that I'm now an age I didn't expect to ever be.
That's actually number three on
oh,
the list.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, you're anxious about getting older. I cried. I remember as a kid crying on my birthday, aww, like by myself. Because I was like, I'll never be 7 years old again.
Aww,
it's very, it was very like, why are you do?
That's very
doing
astute
that
for a 7 year old.
Yeah. It was a mature idea.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Now I'm 50. And I'm like,
wait, what?
I'm like, I get another year. Yay.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. Have you ever felt forgotten or unimportant?
So people are crying because they feel forgotten.
Oh, yes.
That's so sad.
Like, on your birthday, people aren't giving you the attention you deserve. And
yeah,
so you might post something that's like, well,
that would be sad.
This
nobody
day
remembered my birthday.
Yes,
oh,
yes. There's also you feel overwhelmed with love and gratitude.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, yeah, if you have a great birthday and you got a bunch of sweet messages or maybe you got a gift you weren't expecting and you just feel the love.
I do. I did that on my birthday this last year because it was my 50th and my boyfriend MC got everybody in my life pretty much and from like past like college friends, so many different people.
That's
and
really
had them
sweet
record a message. I thought it was going to be like three or four people, and it went on and on. It was like 40 minutes,
yeah,
and I'm just like bawling and bawling.
Oh, my God, I'm sure, because everybody had such nice things to say.
So nice. So, and even like you're into Leslie Gore.
Well, I had a brief fling with Leslie Gore in my 30s.
Yes.
I was just fascinated by her, and you know how you kind of fall down rabbit holes?
Well, right. So I want to know, I've never really looked into, do you know the whole, like, this song, you know?
I don't really know the background of the song. I just know she's like an incredible songwriter. And she also, well, she's very similar to me in many ways, Dawn.
Yes.
Anyway, do you have the story or something?
No, I was just wondering if you knew what
like,
the...
It's my party,
yeah,
and I'll cry. Such
like,
a good song.
Because that's like in the 50s or 60s, right? And it's like, I'm just wondering, like, it's kind of a weird song. And what is the meaning behind it, really?
Yeah.
But...
That's
anyway, there's a whole section in this article about how to avoid crying on your birthday.
Okay, so let's figure out how not to cry on our birthdays. I mean, I'm hoping I don't cry on my birthday.
All right.
What do I got to do?
Well, if your love language is gift giving, you need to communicate that.
Okay.
Not the day before, but just like, so whenever you do this for me, it makes me feel really special.
Yeah.
Just so you know, hint, hint.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
I am not, I don't. Like I know that this is probably hard for people to believe, but for me, I am not the person that wants all the attention on my birthday. Like when you go out to dinner on your birthday and then all of a sudden like four servers show up behind you and you start
singing
to hear a song and you're, I don't want that.
You don't. Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
But it's, you know, but I think everybody's different. Like some people, I think what's important in what you just said, in addition to, you know, all the other things, is like communicating what's important to you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
That would be important.
And it could be just like you have a favorite donut and it doesn't have to be expensive, you know.
Mike, you want to say something?
I've got the background on It's My Party.
You do?
What do we know?
First off, do you want to hear it?
Yeah, yes. Just a little bit, yeah.
Well, Leslie Gore had nothing to do with the writing of the song.
Oh!
It was actually created by some staff writers at Aaron Schroeder Music in 1962, a firm. But I will say, the lyrics, that's who put the song together, the lyrics were written by a guy named Seymour Gottlieb, and he actually wrote this based on his own daughter's sweet 16 party.
Oh.
He said that she was crying at the idea that her grandparents were invited.
It was her
sweet 16 party.
She's like, I don't want my old grandparents
exactly.
there.
So basically, that is what happened, according to Seymour Gottlieb, who wrote the lyrics for it. That's why. So
somewhere she's cashing those checks today. Mm-hmm. She's I'm grateful my grandparents ticked me off when I was a kid because I'm rolling in it now.
It's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, that is actually really
awesome.
Funny.
I love that
Thank
story,
you, Mike.
No problem.
Yes.
So how else
how
do we
you
not
avoid
cry?
It? Okay, well, communicate your love language for sure. Also, if you're disappointed about where you are in life, like you thought, I'm 50 and I haven't done anything.
How come I'm only right here?
They said, the phrase practice mindfulness is just I'm tired of it. But I do appreciate this article saying, so now what you need to do is create a vision board for yourself for the next year.
No, not doing that.
You're not doing a vision board or just like goals. I think that's what they mean. Like,
sure. I think that's great advice for people who like that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
And then also treat yourself if you didn't get anything from somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
always.
They keep, I'm pretty sure that this article is sponsored by Crumble Cookie because they mention Crumble Cookie 3 times.
Okay.
And it's like there's a link to Crumble Cookie.
Right.
I'm like,
so this is Crumble Cookie sponsored content that you're reading.
Yes. But it is a thing. And I think I've never thought about it before, but apparently it's a big thing on TikTok.
What's a big thing? Oh, the
people secretly going in the bathroom and recording themselves crying like, it's my birthday. And or it's like they're at a party and it's them crying whenever people give them gifts.
Oh, because it's like everybody's supposed to be happy on their birthday, but here you are crying.
Like, see my emotions.
Got it.
Yeah. Or it's like, I'm so happy and this is where I bawled my eyes out.
Well, Dawn, you have brightened my widened my awareness on this very...
You're welcome.
Very important issue. Just days before I might find myself crying on my very special day. Well, I'll let you know. I'll film it and I'll put it on TikTok.
Or at least pretend to cry.
Hey, when we come back, speaking of crying, I think we should cry over spilt jam. Meghan Markle's jam specifically. I found some details on her new cooking show, which I had almost completely forgotten about, but the details make me want to know even more, and I'll tell you why when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1.
It's Dawn McClain here with Mike Marcotte from Twin Cities Live and Minnesota Live. You joined the Livia program like I did.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember what made you join Livia?
Oh my gosh. Well, I was at the heaviest weight in my entire life.
Yeah.
And with my partner, he has 2 kids. And so I just wanted to take them up the stairs at night and not have to pant and be winded when I got to the top. And so that was my motivation to join Livia.
Was there anything surprising about the Livia program?
It's so positive. There's not a single person in the Livia office in Roseville, but they're so positive in every aspect of this journey.
And have you reached your goal?
I have reached my goal, and we actually extended it. So I'm down over 30 pounds, and I'm looking to lose more.
Join Livia today and get your first 8 weeks free. Visit Livia.com. That's LIVEA.com. Or call 855-GO-LIVIA. And Livia is now offering GLP-1 medications. Quiet the food noise and see accelerated results by summer.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hold on, people, hold on. It's Friday. Ooh, aren't you excited? Come through. We have a new double Taylor Swift album.
It's a lifestyle.
Oh, is that tampons?
It's a lifestyle. Where else can you go? You go for dinner.
Oh.
You go to a show. You go dancing. Through the day, you have all these activities. And I love the hula dancing and the ballroom dancing.
I don't know, and I love
She's
it.
She's on a cruise.
She's on a cruising. Cruise. Oh,
cruising.
Gosh.
It's a lifestyle.
Love it. Okay, Meghan
and
Markle.
And so is our show, bitches.
It's a lifestyle. It is. Meghan Markle is still making jam, but she has plans for something else that we kind of forgot about.
Meghan Markle's a lifestyle too, and I found this article and I thought, Dawn, I want to talk about this because I had roundly forgotten, or soundly or resoundingly, I forgot that Meghan Markle was doing a cooking show. I knew she was doing stuff for Netflix, and the thing that I had been focusing on, of course, was that polo show. Mm-hmm. Remember that was...
It's very bougie.
It just sounds very bougie. But she's also doing a cooking show, and we now know she's not doing it in her own home, which I'm kind of miffed about, because I think one of, like, I will grant Meghan Markle that she is an interesting person, but it is because of where she sits in life, and where literally, as well as figuratively, that she sits in life, that I am interested. When I found that she's going to be recording her cooking show in a home that's not her own, I thought... Okay, well, now you're robbing me of the like one entree that I have into your life, which is the fascination of what your life is like on a daily basis. Like, where is she cooking her pancakes? Where is she making her jam?
You want to see her kitchen.
Yes, I want to see her kitchen. But according to the Daily Mail, because they have to point out, and by the way, they're just trolling her. But
yeah.
It is thanks to the Daily Mail that we now know that she's actually doing her cooking show at a friend's home, and they're very wealthy friends, Tom and Sherry Cipolla or Chipola.
Oh.
They've lent their home to her for her cooking show. And apparently, the headline, or not the headline, one of the captions of the photos in the Daily Mail says, the couple are fixtures on the bougie Montecito society scene and generous donors to several good causes.
Oh.
So, I mean, they're neighbors and friends. So neighbors and friends are letting Meghan, who's now, you know, blossomed or launched American Riviera Orchard, will have this as part of her Netflix deal cooking show that will allegedly involve her with a bunch of friends. And I know people are like, oh, that's boring. Why do I want to watch that? I want to watch it because of that, because of the bougie friends that she has. I want to see who's going to show up. But I'm really bummed that it's not going to be their house, because frankly, that's the kind of stuff I want to see, where her chickens are. I want to see what she's getting up in the middle of the night to, you know, I don't know, have a snack.
Yeah, she's what refrigerator is she going into to have a big
what kind of
spoon of jam?
Because, you know, this is how the Kardashians, this to me is the success of the Kardashians, is that they... like, we'll show you what their lives look like. And people say, who cares? But for those of us who do care, you're grateful for that.
Yeah,
lens.
You're in their houses.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think maybe she just, because of all the intrusion into her life and the microscope, maybe she wants to always keep a little bit for herself and keep it private.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure she's got 20 reasons.
Sure.
I'm just bummed that I don't get to see that. Because yeah. That to me is, if you're trying to be authentic, you have to be authentic. And I know that she has reasons to not be completely authentic, but at the same time, isn't that the thing that you're trying to sell people? Like, that's what Goop... So, for example, Gwyneth Paltrow is a perfect sort of comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Gwyneth Paltrow lets Architectural Digest into her home. Mm-hmm. Gwyneth Paltrow has filmed all sorts of videos in her home. I'm not saying, again, Meghan Markle needs to show me where her underwear drawer is. But I do want to get some sense, and I hope that within this show, because we don't, details are sparse at this point, But I do hope that we get something revealing. Like, I hope it's not a bunch of curated recipes. I hope they're things that are actually genuine to her. Because I am, my point is, I am fascinated by her, not the idea of her.
Ooh, okay. So the glossy image of what she wants you to see.
Which I don't, which is probably what we're going to get, right?
Probably, yeah. That's why we have a polo show, you know, also. I am much more interested in this property and the people. Not that I don't care about Meghan, but I would kind of just like to see Tom and Sherry moving about their life because they look interesting and I want to know.
And she probably goes by Cherie. I just feel like when you're bougie and your name is Sherry, it's probably Cherie.
Cherie. And at first glance, I thought it was a lesbian couple.
Dawn.
What's wrong with that? I did. And then I went, oh, okay, because his hair's a little bit longer and it has a curl to it. And then I noticed, oh, that's a man with a beard. I didn't look very closely. Anyway, they have rows and rows.
I'm sure Tom is really pleased.
Oh, well, you know. So they have rows and rows of lemon trees and avocado trees.
Yeah, no, they have a beautiful home.
Wow.
It's like my, you know, again, it would be just, I would be obsessed with this home. I mean, that's what we're really talking about. And that's why people are going to watch shows like this, because you do want to just sort of put yourself in the world of the fancy other. It's whoever the fancy other that you appeal, that you find appealing, you know, because that's what this is all for.
Yeah, it is. I love how the writer of this article describes on Tuesday, Meghan, who recently teased the launch of American Riviera Orchard with soft focus footage of herself arranging pink flowers and stirring something in a bowl.
Yeah, because the Daily Mail, this is how they I am convinced that the writers for the Daily Mail make their money on like a word count.
Right. Because they're long articles that say nothing.
Yeah, literally. It'll be like. Exactly like you said, on Wednesday, Meghan Markle walked down the street on pavement with her toes touching as she moved forward through time and space in shoes which are coverings for the feet. In this case, are brown, which also had heels.
Which we think is not organic leather.
Yeah.
Because, you know, then they have to throw in something.
Yeah, you got to be a bitch.
Trolly
about it, right?
So I hear also that she's going to have some pet products. Are you excited about that? Like pet shampoo? Are you going to bathe Wheezy
in
American
Riviera
Orchard
shampoo?
Just shampoo.
Like I'm not buying Gwyneth's stuff, but I'm fascinated by it, right? I'm more fascinated by like the real story of what their life must be like, because I just don't think it's as glossy. I'm grateful that like they put all this effort into it and she's making it look real pretty, but I'm curious to see where the reality is underneath. Like, will it be discernible?
Yeah, I don't know if it will. It seems like it'll just be super pretty, bougie.
Yeah,
this is our life.
Although I bet there will be some tears, you know, especially with her friends.
Oh, okay.
Don't you think like in the kitchen together? Yeah. And they'll start getting emotional and talking about life.
That's true. That's what we're here for, I guess. I want her mom to come over and like.
Oh, I bet she will, Doria.
My heart of hearts hopes that the jam making is her mom's recipe.
That would be great.
You know,
yeah.
Just because that would feel better to me than just like, here's a basic recipe for jam that I've thrown together, you know?
Yeah. It's, again, that authenticity. You want like a human connection and people will pay for that.
They will. Anything else you're interested in when it comes to her products that you've seen?
Products? No. Because I'm curious, like, what will actually go on sale?
That's true.
You know, the jam, I don't think she's going to sell the jam. I think the jam was a marketing experience.
Bingo. I tried to snap and I can't snap. Bingo.
You just snapped.
Ooh, yeah. I did it.
That's
okay. Well, yeah, I think you're right about that. I think that that's not going to be something that we're going to be able to buy. It was just like, hey, I'm doing a thing and I'm going to send you some jam.
Yeah. And then she'll probably have like somebody else who does make handcrafted jam.
Like a whole factory.
You know, we talked about this. We don't have much time, but and we're going to put some things in our mouth. I'm really excited. Not jam. But there is a market out there, I think, for someone, a celebrity, to create a website that sells other celebrity products.
Ooh.
You know, because like all these celebrities now have their own farms, they have their own wines, they have their own cheeses, they have their own boozes. Like somebody who's sort of like a clearinghouse for like celebrity products.
And then they could also interview them. So it's just a big publicity
thing. Sure. I just think it would be fun to troll through like, oh, did you know that Ryan Reynolds, they have like a cheese cave and he's been making like blue cheese? You know? I don't know. I'd buy it. All right. When we come back, it's Friday. We put food in our mouth. It's called food porn. And we're going to share it with you when we come back. Find out what we're eating next right here on The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn on My Talk 107.1.
Hey, My Talkers, have you seen all the for sale signs around? You see some homes up for sale and you're thinking about doing it, but then the signs are gone immediately. Well, that's because it is the perfect time to buy a home. People are just snatching those up left and right. Well, first talk to David at First Equity Mortgage. Please shop for a mortgage before you shop for a home. You can get the best rate and then you are ready to go. You have your ducks in a row when you want to put an offer in. I financed with MC and I financed, or I'm sorry, refinanced with David a couple of years ago. And it was just amazing, the attention to detail. He was in communication with us the whole time. And it seemed like he was actually having a really great time finding us the lowest rate. And he definitely wants to treat all of his customers that way. They make it their mission to keep you informed and to keep you in the know about what is out there for you. So give them a call, 763-251-8000 or MyTalk keyword David. The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. Happy Friday. It's great Friday. Taylor Swift Friday. Music. Yes. Food porn Friday. It's on its way, you guys. It's
Where's
now,
our food?
It's changed. I guess they had a delay in the process.
No.
It looks like that little car is moving, and it'll be here in 5 minutes.
Okay.
5 to 8 minutes.
Well.
So, not going to happen.
No, it'll
at
happen.
At normal time.
We'll just do it in the next segment. You want to talk right. about Taylor Swift?
Let's talk about
so
Taylor Swift.
So, no food
Swift.
Porn just yet. Hold tight.
That's fine. We've got to get through our feelings, our emotions about Taylor Swift's new songs on her albums.
Well, yeah, and we should get behind the lyrics, because, man, she's telling tales.
Yes, she is. We've got Maddie Healy. We've got Joe Alwyn. We got some new thoughts about Travis Kelce, who isn't her ex, but he's her lover.
Yeah, so I don't know if how you guys thought about this when you listened. I think for a lot of people who are maybe not like super fans of, well, for, certainly for super fans of a certain, you know, persuasion, they're going to be all into the weeds on like what every single word means and why there's punctuation in different places. But I think too, for a lot of people who aren't super duper Taylor Swift fans, there's also this connection that they can have with her music because maybe they're familiar with her relationship with Matt Healy, or they're, and that would be myself, right? Like, I know all of these stories because we've talked about them.
Mm-hmm.
On the show, her relationship with Joe Alwyn, which was very, very private. So to hear her say anything about it potentially is, you know, that's going to grab people's attention.
I think so, too. When I listened to the Tortured Poets Department, the lyrics, I was thinking
the
Matt
song.
Yes. I was thinking Matt Healy.
I think a lot of people were expecting it. That was going to be a song about Joe, because there was that story, right? That
yep.
he and some friends had the Tortured Poets.
Tortured Man Club.
Or Tortured Man
that
Club.
That was Andrew Scott, Paul Mescal, and him.
They yeah.
talked about their Tortured Man's Club. So that's what we just thought, uh-oh, that's going to be about him. But, I mean, the whole album is called the Tortured Poets Department. It seemed more like a Matty Healy song.
Yeah, a lot of people have said now, right, that that song addressed her relationship. And again, we should say all of this is speculation, because we know what it is. It's pretty clear, but it's not like she said in here, like, this song is about whatever.
Yeah. She never does, which is what a good, you would never want to say, hey, Joe, I'm talking about you.
Except but, for the, thank you, Amy. That is clearly directed at Kim. We'll get to that later in the show.
Yes. So the Tortured Poets Department song references tattoos. I love the snarkiness. This is the part where she seems more mature. Like, I laughed in your face and said, you're not Dylan Thomas. I'm not Patti Smith. This ain't the Chelsea Hotel. We're modern idiots. I'm like, that's good. Those are good lyrics. You know, it's like, don't think so highly of yourself or that you're some prolific person in this world, because that's not who we are. We're just two people.
She's being humble.
Yes, she is. And then just there's parts about tattoos and a golden retriever. Isn't that in this song? I think. Yeah. The part that made me really kind of sad was that at dinner, you take my ring off my middle finger and put it on the one people put wedding rings on. And that's the closest I've come to my heart exploding.
Mm.
Oh, see, she's just a girl who wants somebody to propose to her.
That's sweet.
Yes. Mike, did you feel like that one was about Maddie Healy or...
That's the part where I haven't dove into all of them enough to really jump into it like that. And I also don't listen to it that same way, because I know you said that's how you kind of like think of all these stories that we've talked about.
I only
about.
Have reference points, so I'm thinking like, oh, is she talking about... It's like listening to Blind Items.
Exactly. And I don't listen that way. I just listen more into the music and how it relates to me and how it makes me feel and things like that. So I struggle with, you know, some of these who said what. And that's what Brittany and I were texting back and forth when we were listening to it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm glad you feel that way. Okay. I don't know. Sure. I agree with you. Like, I don't really know.
Yeah.
Like, there's a different mentality there a little bit. But I mean, there were some that were more obvious than others. But
yeah, I mean, and I will just say, I was just reading through a list of, you know, some of the things that people have pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an article on CNN because, like, literally everybody, people, the Daily Mail, Page Six, TMZ, they
CNN.
All have, yeah, well, that's what I said, the story is on CNN. They all literally have information about what these songs and lyrics potentially mean. And the one for Matt Healy that we were just talking about, there was something about a typewriter.
Yeah.
And it says...
go on.
Clues include the opening in which Swift sings, "You left your typewriter at my apartment." Healy expressed a fondness for typewriters in a 2019 interview with GQ magazine. So it's that level of, you know, detail that people are reading into these songs.
That, yes. And when I was listening, when she talked about you ate 7 bars of chocolate, his song Chocolate, that's his hit song. That the 1975, their biggest hit is called Chocolate.
Ah.
And they call weed chocolate.
Interesting.
So that is about weed.
So 7 joints.
Yeah. And then it says, like a tattooed golden retriever. So I really do feel like this is about Maddie Healy with all of those clues. We figured it out.
They apparently also said that that song, But Daddy, I Love Him, was about her relationship with her fans calling him out and being disapproving of that relationship.
Yeah. Hmm.
That she was basically like, you know, But Daddy, I love him.
It feels that way.
Again, does that for you, Mike, as a fan, you're kind of like, I don't care. I just want to listen to the music and enjoy it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Because
I know that feeling, right? When there's like someone you love and people are like, well, that song's just about this. And you're like, well, okay, that kind of deflates the magic from the song. I was just having a relationship with the music.
And I was also at a different point too during her, like I obviously started here a couple of years ago. So I wasn't into the Dirt and into all of that stuff when she was with Maddie Healy or towards the tail end or when she was with Joe Alwyn. Like I didn't look at it that way.
Yeah.
So I think that's also part of it. Cause now I say that, but then when I listen to the Alchemy and I listen to So High School, I'm like, oh, this is obviously all about Travis. And then I had good feelings. So I think maybe that's more of it.
Okay.
I'm just not as deep into that part of it.
Yeah, that's very self-reflective, Mike.
Very self-reflective.
Thanks, I try.
Yes, very good. I think that her entire career has been so focused on like the fans connecting who she's talking about that I can't help.
Well, it's an Easter. She's an Easter egg connoisseur, right?
Yeah.
Like when it comes to, but it's almost to the point now where it's just like, is it an Easter egg when you're saying it out loud?
Yeah, it's not an Easter egg.
Like when you spelled Kimberly's name out in
the
song.
Yeah, that is clearly like it says, like in the title, there are thank you, Amy. I mean, that
the K
has,
in thank
is
capitalized. Amy, the A and the I, or excuse me, the I and the M are capitalized.
Which is just Kim. Yeah.
And my favorite line of the very opening of that song,
is
there's a bronze spray tan statue of you in my mind as I walk into like my high school or something.
And it's about like a high school bully.
It's about a high school bully.
Essentially.
That, yes. And then she later on says the whole line about how, you know, I changed the names and the clues so nobody would know it's about you. But one day your kid's going to come home singing the song and only you and me are going to know it's about us or something.
Oh, it gets real deep.
It's real good.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
Well,
like,
you know, not North, because Northwest has made it known on her own Instagram, which why a 10-year-old has an Instagram, I don't know. Talking to the World, but she's basically like thrown up the middle finger at Taylor Swift before.
But previously, she was dancing to Shake It Off with Kim in a video. Oh, yeah. So yeah, there's
she's grown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did want to say of the song about Joe, theoretically or essentially or whatever we think, So Long, London. Is the idea that with that relationship, she, like, he just couldn't commit and he was just a downer the whole time and he was just dragging her down and she was like, screw this, I'm out of here. That was what the song was giving.
Yeah, that's what the song gives. Plus, that's also what that little teaser, that pop-up that we saw from Spotify where it was like the... It was a library and it had the 72 little drawers and then there were wedding invitationals, each one of those card catalogs for 6 years or six different ones that represented different could been wedding dates. So I don't know. I feel like that is definitely the vibe I get from that relationship.
That makes me sad. Yeah.
It makes me sad. And listening to the song feels very sad. I feel like it's not just sadness for like the effort she put, because she also talks about how you took all of that youth. All those years of youth from me, and how she felt like she wasted her time, but because nothing ever came of it, but also a longing for the fairy tale that she probably created in her head. And I think that's what London is for her. Like, just imagine, you know, having a boyfriend who, you know, it's very romantic. And I know that she's a huge romantic. We all know that. But then, you know, she can get her feelings hurt. And it's just the
It's a very human. Everybody can relate to that feeling.
It's like she doesn't have a reason to be there anymore because, you know, in the UK and in London, she was attached to him, of course, and just feeling a connection to that city.
Absolutely.
It's just sad. I was like, I almost can't get through this one.
All right. When we come back, we're going to get through something a little more delicious. We hope we'll find out. Food porn. Is it happening? Is it closer?
Well, let me open my locked phone and see.
Let's see.
It is here.
Yay! All right, we've got Food Porn Friday right around the corner on My Talk 107.1.
Ooh, we're taking it to the hoedown right now with Beyonce and McDonald's. Welcome back to the show. Finally, on The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, we're going to do some Food Porn Friday.
Food Porn.
Yummy! Dawn, what are we putting in our mouths today, as if I don't see it staring back at me?
Okay. This is a lot in one chicken sandwich.
It is a lot of words, right?
It is McDonald's Bacon Cajun Ranch McCrispy.
McCripsy! They trademarked McCrispy, so we got to say McCrispy.
Okay.
But it is Bacon Cajun Ranch McCrispy. I saw this on the McDonald's website, and I thought to myself, okay, McDonald's. I see this new thing. It is a limited time only experience. It is described as a Southern style fried chicken fillet, or as the British would call it, fillet, bold applewood smoked bacon, then topped with crispy and cool crinkle cut pickles.
Yeah.
And finished with a creamy Cajun ranch sauce on the top with a warm toasted potato roll. Okay. It says this is the next level chicken sandwich you didn't know about.
Oh, all right. We do now.
We do now. It's in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
I didn't get a deluxe, which means it would have lettuce and tomato on it.
Oh, okay.
Because I thought...
I don't care about lettuce and tomato. That's just rabbit food.
That just takes away from the actual food.
Yeah.
Of this. And we didn't sign up for a salad. So, I mean, to me, you know my face. When I open it, I go... There it is. I wasn't real impressed with
I can tell you're not excited about this one, which is fine, but is there anything that stands out to you? Or, Mike, do you have any thoughts? You're staring at one as well.
Yeah, the packaging was interesting. They didn't, like, normally at McDonald's, they got the little cardboard things they send it in. This is in, like, a bag.
It was like a foil bag, I wonder if that's because it's fried, because, you know, the foil bags will keep, like, fried chicken. Like, mm-hmm. if you ever get fried chicken at the grocery store, they'll put it in a foil bag.
Right. It'll keep it crispier.
Cripsy.
When it's hot, the condensation inside one of those cardboard boxes probably makes it floppy.
It's real heavy.
Holy. The Cajun sauce has definitely given out a lot of flavor kick. Smell.
I not to give any spoilers, but I did read online that people were digging that sauce.
Ooh, it smells good.
So.
It sort of looks like Thousand Island, but it's ranchy because I already got a little
It's a creamy sauce. That.
Yeah, it's a creamy sauce. It's like a pink ranch.
All right. who wants to go first? Mike's got it.
I'm holding.
Hold it. Go for it, Dawn. Go for it.
Okay.
She's like, okay. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
You're not loving it?
I'm going to say, yeah, I'm loving it. There's a lot of flavor there.
Tell me about it. What are you thinking?
It's spicy.
What are you tasting?
There's
what
a
flavors?
Lot of spice there. I'm getting the pickle, which is... The chicken tastes, remember, I always talk about when we do KFC things, I'm like, yeah. Oh, this chicken tastes like chicken. This chicken, it tastes better than your normal chicken you'd get at McDonald's, I feel like. Mm. I feel like this is a different, they did something different. It tastes more real to me. Okay. It's got a lot of flavor. I mean, it's just, there's some heat there.
Yeah.
And
it is a little spicy.
The bacon's good. The pickles are good. This is pretty legit. I like this.
I like the bacon. The bacon's real crispy. Dawn, what do you think?
I think that the chicken part, like the breading is kind of doesn't taste crispy enough. It's soggy.
Yeah.
It also feels a little bit like pressed chicken along the edges. It's not just a piece of chicken. I mean, you know, we have high chicken standards around here. So I think it's okay. I don't like hot stuff.
Mm.
So I think it's too spicy, but you know, that's all relative. I mean, you know, it's subjective.
I love the pickle. It's like a fresh pickle, which I love because a lot of pickles in this situation would be those like super, super like fluorescent green pickles that have just been sitting around in a jar for 300 years.
Yeah.
But this is like a fresh, like clear, cripsy pickle.
Yep. I didn't get a pickle on mine. So I didn't. Well, I just didn't want very much of this. So I just didn't. It. Yeah.
That does.
You weren't feeling it. It's fine.
I will say, you said this is like a potato bun or what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's also what's kind of creating the sockiness. It's very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's...
Well, and it's kind of mushed.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's because of the potato bun and because how heavy it is. And then the sauce mixing with the breading of the chicken, mm-hmm. it just creates this very mushy inside. Although I'm not saying it's bad tasting. The texture's just a little off.
I'm grateful for the bacon too, because sometimes bacon, like on
a
sandwich, gets like real wet.
And real chewy.
And soggy. And this bacon is not soggy.
Yeah, I'll say that too. The bacon is definitely good.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, the bun by itself, since there's a certain other competitor out there that every time I have, I hate Wendy's buns.
Oh, you don't like Wendy's buns?
I don't like them. Sorry, Wendy's. But this bun I really like. It doesn't taste mealy. You know, Wendy's buns have this mealy taste to me that I'm like, ooh, I immediately notice it. But this, if you just take the bun part off by itself and eat it, that's a good piece of bread, y'all.
The thing I like about this is when you put all the constituent parts together, it kind of works because you got the crispy bacon, which you can taste. You got the pickle, which you can taste. And you got the chicken, which you can taste. And you got the sauce, which you can taste. Like, I can taste each one of those things individually together, right?
Yeah.
So you know how sometimes you just put something in your mouth? And you're like, I'm not sure what I'm actually eating right now because there's just a mouthful of texture.
Yeah.
But this, I can taste all the parts in each bite.
And a step forward, they all elevate each other. Yeah. They all make each other better and make it just...
Oh, look at you.
Look at you. You're really into this.
Watch a lot of Next Level Chef. I love elevating.
No, Mike's good at food talk.
I really think, and I'm trying to like rack my brain right now. Okay, if I was given this option or any other item at McDonald's, this is one of the best things I've had at McDonald's, I think.
Oh,
I will say I'm not a huge McDonald's burger person. Yeah. I always go for the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get this chicken sandwich versus the regular chicken sandwich.
Yep.
The McCrispy is also good.
Yep. But this is better.
But I think with the bacon and the pickles particularly, the sauce, it's good. Like, it's not my favorite sauce of all time. It's a little spicy for me, but it's something different.
Yeah.
If I had some fries right now, I'd be in heaven.
And definitely a Dr. Pepper.
Why didn't we get fries?
Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding.
I'm on a budget.
I don't expect to get fries.
So what would you like? Would you get this again? Like, would you get a meal?
Mm-hmm.
Because that will give you your fries and your.
Just like Mike said, this is something I would actually order on the menu.
Okay.
Versus a regular chicken sandwich.
And I think I would deluxe it up because I think if you added lettuce to it and a tomato, it's going to really mellow out the spiciness of the sauce.
Mike, as someone who likes spicy food, yeah. How does this fall on the spice level for you?
When we hear about spicy things at fast food places, normally they're very much Midwest spicy. This is spicy spicy.
It's yeah. Cajun it's pretty spicy.
It's pretty spicy.
This is pretty spicy. So yeah, they've had spicy.
Dawn, it's probably too spicy for you.
It is too spicy mm-hmm. for me, but hey, you know, I hate to be picky, you know.
And there's enough sauce on it, too. Yeah. They definitely have enough.
Because you're not alone. There are people who don't like spice. So it's good to know that for people who don't like spice, it's probably going to be too spicy. I'm sort of in the middle. So for me, it's just at about my level. I wouldn't want anything spicier.
If you took one thing off of it, what would you say you don't really need?
I
would say the Cajun spice. Like, if it was just all the other stuff, I think I would like it better. Is the chicken also spiced?
I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
I don't okay, think so.
At least according to the description, it just says a Southern style fried chicken fillet.
Yeah. They probably would just need to want to use the same chicken as they do on everything else.
If I had to take one, well, it's definitely different though, because that's not the McChicken chicken. That's not the chicken a chicken nugget.
No,
definitely
but
not.
But I think
it's
they have
different.
What they call a McCrispy.
Okay.
That's just plain.
Spicy McCrispy, and spicy deluxe McCrispy.
If there's one thing I would take off of it, it's the breading on the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Like if that was just a...
Like you don't care for it?
Well, yeah, if that was just like a chicken breast without any breading on it, was just a naked chicken breast, that would be really, really tasty.
I would just say take the bun off and give me another chicken breast.
There we go.
And put the bacon between the two chicken breasts.
Double down at lunch.
Have you ever had a KFC? Or no, we didn't. You weren't here.
I wasn't here.
It got a 5 out of 5.
It did.
It is literally chicken nirvana. You'd probably think it was too much, Dawn.
Is it? Oh, it's KFC.
Yeah.
See, I think if I would take anything off of it, I would take out the chicken, the pickles, the sauce, the bacon, and just eat the bun because I really like the bun.
Okay, but then it's not a chicken
then
McCrispy.
Then it's potato bread.
0 out of 5.
I just came up with an idea, though.
Okay.
Before we get to scoring.
Let's do it.
Please.
A food porn Friday tournament.
Chicken sandwich?
And we could just move ahead and just have the championship round be the Curterburger versus the Double Down.
Because
those
it
have
be.
Both got 5 out of 5s
Were
before.
You here for the Curterburger?
Curterburger? Is it a curd?
The cheese curd burger.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, because I remember that big old...
The Curterburger. Okay, so we need to do the face-off.
Yes,
Curterburger versus Double Down.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, Mike is a stats guy, so I'm pretty sure that he's kept track of all the scores.
Mm-hmm. I haven't, unfortunately. I wish I would have at this point.
Great.
I do remember they both got 5 out of 5, though.
Okay.
Curterburger and Double Down.
Quickly, we need to rate this.
Dawn?
I'll say 2.
2? Mike?
4.6.
I'm going to give it a 4.25.
My favorite thing at McDonald's.
It was quite delicious. Thank you very much. And when we come back, from food porn to Mike's cat, this story is literally
epic.
Going to change your Friday when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1.